Joanna, stay with us for a moment because we're going to bring in Jean Demby of NPR's Code Switch team. That team looks at race, ethnicity, and culture, certainly applies here. And Jean has put out a call in this country to ask people if they've ever been challenged about not being part of their own family simply based on the way they look. Jean, what are some of the responses?
We got three or four general kinds of responses. There were people who were assumed to be the nannies of their relatives. There were a lot of people who said they were assumed to be adopted by their relatives. There were a few people who said that they were mistakenly assumed to be lovers of their relatives. There was another group of people who were looked at with a little bit more suspicion. They were either stopped by police or people questioned whether they should be with their family members.
Just because they look different. And now we're getting into a darker zone that's a little bit like this Roma story. This could be actually a scary situation for people.
Right. There was one woman in Georgia named Lauren Ware who told us a story about when she was about 6 or 7, and she was driving to McDonald's with her father. Her father was speeding, and the police pulled them over. The police looked at her and looked at her father, and they're both African-American, but they're very different complexions. And so the police asked her, are you sure you know this man? Are you supposed to be with him? Mm. And there was a case in Virginia in which a white man with his three biracial daughters was at a Walmart, and someone, either an employee or a customer, thought that something was not right. And so later that day, that man got a knock on his door from police. And that white man and his black wife had to answer questions about whether they were the parents of their children.
This is a tough one to think about from the perspective of a police officer, because on one level, the police officer is profiling. But on the other hand, the officer would not want to let someone who's a kidnap victim still be taken away.
Right. So Nancy McBride from the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children said they would rather someone make the call if something doesn't look right to them. She pointed to a bunch of high-profile cases like Elizabeth Smart and Shasta Groney, cases in which strangers saw something they thought was amiss and made calls to authorities. And so the problem there is that what's amiss is really subjective, right? I mean, according to the Pew Research Center, 15% of all new marriages in this country are interracial. The majority of adoptive children in this country are non-white. The majority of those non-white children's adoptive parents are white. So transracial adoption is the norm. We know that the number of multiracial people may be undercounted in this country. And we know this intellectually, that American families are changing. But I don't think the picture we have in our heads of what families look like has actually caught up yet.
Jean, thanks very much. Let's go back to Joanna Kakissis one more time, because, Joanna, I'm wondering if the embarrassment, if that's the word, of misidentifying a kidnapping in Greece has caused people to think differently about race and ethnicity there.
You know, that's not the case. There have been some Greeks who have been concerned, but on a large scale, there hasn't been this great moment of reckoning where people are saying, oh my gosh, what did we just do? Greeks should be having that conversation, but they're not having that conversation. And many spokespeople from the Roma community are saying, this is the time to have it. There's just this big divide.
Joanna, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's Joanna Kakissis, and NPR's Jean Demby is in our studios here in Washington. Jean, thanks to you.
Thank you, Steve.
This is NPR News.